Hi folks, this is Tony for aminutetomidnight.com. Recently I was in Auckland where I went to a prophecy conference called Until He Comes, and in this video I want to show little interviews that I did with all five of the main speakers at the conference. On the New Zealand end of things, the conference was largely organised by a good friend of Holly's and mine, Wendy May, who you can see here in these pictures. The worship was led by a band that's mainly made up of family members from Ohaupo, just south of Hamilton, New Zealand, and really they did an awesome job. They were really good. A few hundred people attended the conference and the atmosphere was great, and also the speakers. I'm grateful that each one of them gave me a few minutes of their time to interview them just briefly, and I have to say that each one of the speakers and the people with them were all so easy to get along with, and I really enjoyed getting to meet them, the ones I hadn't met before. It was awesome and we had a great time. The first speaker that I interviewed the night before the conference began was Pete Garcia from rev310.net. We sat down together and had a pretty impromptu but very enjoyable short conversation. So, Pete, it's nice to be talking to you here in New Zealand. Is this your first time here?
Yep, it's the first time in New Zealand. I've been to Australia a couple of times, but it was about 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago. But I never got an opportunity to come to New Zealand, so this has been a added bonus for this whole trip.
Well, that's awesome. It's great that you were able to make it, and we're doing this bit before the conference, which is tomorrow. So you've come here, what do you hope to achieve? And secondly, what do you really feel is the main thing that you need to get across to people in this time? Because it's a very difficult time that we're living in.
So the main goal, one of the things I think all of the speakers were hoping that would come out of this, and I'm completely on board with this, was that bringing, watching believers, the remnant church, together in one place. It's amazing how many people felt alone or isolated over the last few years, but when they come to an event like this, they are able to see, this person next to me that I'm sitting there talking to, that they live only like the next town over. You know, I had no idea that they were there. And you're meeting people all over. And so it's bringing communities together, I think, in a good way. And so now we're hoping that sparks something after we leave, that this will continue to go and continue to build. That even here in New Zealand, you're going to find folks, if 800 people are here, that's, 700 more people, or 750 more people than you thought were into Bible prophecy here in this area. So we're hoping that this begins to light a fire here for folks. I think obviously the main goal for any of this is going to be salvation. If folks are coming here, we had a number of folks get saved at the conference yesterday that made professions of faith. And I know that the people that brought them were, if the grandmother brought a grandchild or a son or a sibling or a friend, and they got saved in that process, that was kind of that's the ultimate goal. I think the secondary thing is to show the community that how late we are in the prophetic calendar of things, and to kind of wake up the community, and just let them know that we're running out of time to stay busy for the Lord and stay engaged. It's good to be looking and watching. It's also good to be involved in your community, be salt and light. So, there's multiple things we're hoping comes from, doing a conference like this.
It's pretty amazing to get, a few of you together as speakers at the same time. And I'm looking forward to hearing what you've all got to say. And once again, it's just great to have you here.
It's great to be here. I think the messages I did in Brisbane were well received. And I'm always fascinated by time. I'm fascinated by things that I guess most people tend to overlook. And I'm looking at the veil that's been pulled over the nations in terms of this illusion. And there's so many, it's so multifaceted in terms of false doctrines, wicked governments, just science has been corrupted, academia has been corrupted, everything seems to be corrupted. And then the other message that I brought was on time, and looking back, say like 30 years ago, where did people think they were? Why did they think they were in living in prophetic times? And how does that relate to today? And how much more does it, you know, how much more has that picture sharpened to today? We can see the technology that's listed in the book of Revelation. We can see that already. Whereas in the 90s, for instance, we had a lot more questions than we had answers to. And I think now we have a lot of those questions are answered in terms of, say, like the Mark of the Beast technology, the surveillance state, the ability for global communications and being able to watch something around the world, like the Antichrist desecrating the bomb, you know, committing the abomination of desolation inside the temple, you know, before the advent of global satellites and CNN thing, you know, global television, scholars and theologians scratched their head for centuries trying to figure out how's everybody going to see this? How's everybody going to know this? How's everybody going to see these two witnesses lying dead on the streets in Jerusalem? How are they going to see their bodies? And how are they going to see them rise up on the third day? And now we don't have to question that, right? We don't have any questions necessarily about the capabilities or the possibilities for the mark of the beast. We don't know exactly what it's going to be, but we know that technology exists today, whereas in, say, 30 years ago, it was still, people were still kind of limited to the thought process. So it's going to be a barcode, you know, or one of those UPC codes, or it's going to be maybe an RFID tag or chip. But now there's so many different ways that it could come out. And the internet back then was so clunky, you know, it was so rudimentary. It was just becoming a thing. Whereas today, it's the internet of things. It's pervasive in everything. You can't go anywhere without the internet, without things being smart devices or sensors, if you will, for the what seems to be a growing call for a growing demand for a global government. So I know you guys here in New Zealand and in Australia and in Canada really caught the brunt of this push during the last few years and COVID and whatnot. So you guys have seen firsthand how draconian and how evil and wicked this system's going to become, and we're just seeing the very beginnings of it.
The thing is that what I'm, you know, seeing is that there's a huge convergence of things all at once, you know, CBDCs and digital IDs and vaccine passports and you name it. There are just so many things, whereas before you had all these isolated things. Yeah. Now all of the pieces are coming together of the puzzle where they can introduce this beast system.
Yeah, and so I think if you were to look back 20, 30 years ago, there was a couple of things in place. You had the Oslo Accords in 1993. People would have pointed to that and said, hey, man, this is 7 years. It's 1993. It's 7 years right before the year 2000, right? You could have pointed back to the late 80s and said, okay, well, 1988 is exactly 40 years from the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And so you're right. There was these like isolated events, but now we're seeing so many things and they're overlapping each other like layers. And it's really, the hard part now is not finding the proof. The hard part is kind of trying to pick up the layers and trying to separate them so you can talk about them as individual categories, because now everything's bleeding into each other, you know?
Absolutely. Well, we'll leave it at that. I know you've had a tiring flight and everything, and you know, you've got to be ready for tomorrow. So it's been great just to ask you these few questions, and hopefully we'll catch up again tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. And then going forward after this, now that we met, you know, anytime you want to do something, just let me know and we'll make it happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll definitely have to get you on the show when you're back home too. Yeah. So thanks, Pete.
All right. I appreciate it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
On the day of the conference, I sat down with Brandon Holthouse from Rock Harbor Church in Bakersfield, California, and asked him what I thought were some relevant questions. And here you can hear what his very interesting answers to the questions I posed to him were. Brandon, it's nice to be talking to you. This is Tony from A Minute to Midnight. Now, you're in New Zealand. Is this the first time you've been in New Zealand?
Yes, first time. So it's been an honor to be here. I'm meeting a lot of remnant believers in New Zealand, and it's been great to meet them, to know we're all connected. They watch us online, and then they know us, and so it's been great to meet them, and so it's been a pleasure.
It's awesome to have you here, and all of the speakers, you know, yeah. To have something like this, you know, is great. So what do you see as the main thrust that you want to get across to people,
yeah,
not just in New Zealand, but worldwide at the moment?
Yeah, I think the main thing, even though I'm not preaching on this, I'm preaching on Israel and the destruction of the West, but what I'm noticing is that wherever we go, the remnant is on the same page. They see the same thing that we're seeing. We're preaching these prophetic messages about, you know, the last days and what's happening. And the remnant is tracking wherever they're at, Australia, New Zealand, England, Italy, wherever we're at, Canada, America. God is linking the remnant together and putting them on the same page. It's a supernatural thing. Obviously, the union of the body of Christ, obviously, and you see it at work. And I feel so bad because a lot of the remnant doesn't have a church. They don't have good pastors. And so they come to these conferences that we're putting on, and they get refreshed. They're with like-minded believers, but they finally get to hear, hey, what's happening? You know, so like I'm going to talk about Israel, and I'm going to talk about the destruction of the West, but they see it too. And I think that's one of the takeaways I would like to tell everybody is no matter where you're at in the world, we're linked together. And sometimes it's linking through the internet or watching videos, but God is making a way for the remnant to connect.
Well, the way I see it at the moment, there's a real convergence of things happening that, yeah, have never happened before, you know, like, yeah, now all the pieces are falling into place for the end times,
yeah,
and it's never happened before. So, you know, like, for those of us that are out there and people that can't make it to the conference or can't make it to your church, knowing that these things are happening, what would you say is the number one thing that you would like them to know or focus, you know?
Yeah, so you're mentioning a good thing. We call that the convergence of events, and you're right. It's unprecedented. So this stuff, whether you're talking about Israel, digital currency, one world government, it's all converging together at the same time. And what I want to tell everybody is if you see that, that's never happened. That means we're getting close. We're getting close to, obviously, the rapture, but we're getting close, obviously, to the tribulation. And so we're seeing the setup. And if we're seeing all this stuff, that means there's an urgency now, a responsibility that we all have. Hey, we got to get the gospel out. We got to get as many people saved as possible. And then we got to disciple. And then we got to do the work of the Lord and warn people. We got to be the watchers on the wall. And what does Ezekiel say about the watcher on the wall? That I'm going to hold you accountable if you didn't warn them.
Yeah.
Your blood will be on you, their blood will be on your hands if you don't warn them. And so I think all of us, we need to be sounding the alarm. Hey, look, it's going down. And again, I know you're going to get called a nut job and tinfoil hat brigade, yeah, and you guys are crazy. But at the end, though, despite all the name calling, we've got to do our job. So that's what I would admonish people to do.
Of course, we're all called not only tinfoil hat wearers, but conspiracy theorists. That's one of the, but you know, that's a disparaging term. And as soon as you're called something's called a conspiracy theory, I think, there's some truth in there that they're trying to distract you from.
Yes. That's been a tactic they'll use. Like, you know, we used to say global government is coming, and they would say the same thing. That's a conspiracy theory. And now, look, they say it themselves.
Yeah.
But that's always a way of discrediting us and calling us names and stuff like that. But my thing is it happening? And the things that Tom and I and Billy and everyone else in the prophecy world are saying, say, look, here's what they say. Here's what they do. Now, here's what the Bible says. And so that's not a conspiracy theory. It's actually a real conspiracy against us. They're actually doing this, and a lot of people are not paying attention. And you think about that. Why are people not paying attention? Well, it's like the days of Noah. They're going about their daily lives, as Jesus said, eating, drinking, giving in marriage, and not paying attention to what's happening. And so, now a lot of times they can't hide it anymore. So all they can do is call us names. So that's where we're at today.
Totally. So as Christians, you know, like I get it all the time, even here today, people say, do I know, because they've seen me online and that, do I know of a good church in such and such a place? And to be quite honest, on most cases I can't. I'm lucky enough to be part of a great little home church, but everyone can't go there. But so what do you suggest that people can't find somewhere to fellowship do?
Yeah, so that's a good question. First of all, we have a church tracker on our website. So guys, if you go on our church tracker website, just go to rockharborchurch.net, go to your area in the world and see if there's a remnant church. We've been able to identify remnant churches all over the world. If it's not there, the best thing to do, what you're doing, is get a small group together of like-minded remnant believers, study the Word, and then supplement it with these videos that, you know, the prophecy teachers are teaching about and talking about real-world events. And that's what I'm noticing. That's what people are having to do. Just talking to people here at the conference, a lot of them don't have a church. So they've huddled up with maybe four or five, maybe a dozen people at their home, and that's their church. And I think now what I'm seeing, that's around the world. We've seen this.
Yeah.
And I think that's the new movement that's happening because of the failure of the pastors, the failure of the church, the great apostasy. People are having to resort to this. So if you guys can find people, you know, that are like-minded, group up with them, have your Bible study. And it is what it is. That's the best people can get these days.
Yeah. I totally agree. Well, I won't hold you up anymore. Okay. It's been great to talk to you, and hopefully I'll get to talk to you and maybe interview you again sometimes.
I would love to do that. I'd love to interview you being here on the ground. So let's do that. Let's make a date for that.
All right.
All right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks, Brendan. The next person I interviewed at the conference after hearing him speak was Billy Crone from Get a Life Ministries. And I asked him a few questions, and you can hear his very interesting answers, I believe, to the questions that I posed to him during this time we had together. So I'm with Billy Crone. It's good to be talking to you, Billy. Is this the first time you've been to New Zealand?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, first trip, and we're still alive until here. The rapture hasn't happened. Hopefully it'll be the first of many.
So I listened to you speaking before, and one of the things that stuck out to me was you were talking about the Pope and the aliens. So, you know, alien deception. So maybe just very quickly, you know, how do you see the Pope and the Vatican tied in with the coming deception?
Well, again, you just look at what they're doing, what they're saying, what they're teaching, not only disagreeing with the Scripture. That's your first mistake. But they're out there saying the same thing as the so-called UFO alien space brothers. As well as the global elite, as well as those involved in the occult and New Age, which is what I came out of. And basically, in a nutshell, they're supporting the Antichrist kingdom. And if you look at what the Bible, and the Bible's the only book on the planet that tells you this, and that's another reason for the value of the Scripture, but in the last days, specifically in the seven-year tribulation, I call it the four big guns, or four pillars. There's many aspects to the Antichrist kingdom, but there's going to be at least four big things you're going to see on the scene. And that's a one-world government, that's a one-world religion, that's a one-world economy, and then that's a mark of the beast cashless society. And you look at those four things, and the Pope, the Vatican, they're promoting every single one of those. And so you're like, well, that's kind of a weird combo, right? You got the Pope, you got the Vatican, you got so-called UFOs, aliens, you got global elites, you got people involved in the occult New Age, and they're all supporting the Antichrist kingdom. Well, what does that tell you? That tells you that they're all coming from the same root, a satanic root. They're all working together. And specifically the role of the Pope, you know, not saying thus saith the Lord or anything, but the Bible talks about that there's going to come a global religious figure on the planet that is going to be a major part of working with this Antichrist system, including telling people you need to worship this guy. He's the Mr. Fix-It. He's the one that can bring peace to the planet. And all of that, it's in print. As you know, I've shared video clips, interviews, articles, even from the Catholic Review. This is really what they are promoting. And again, only the Bible tells you what it is. It's not just a global government. It's not utopia, as they pose to people. That's the lie. That's the deception. It's the Antichrist kingdom, and you don't want to have any part of it.
And so many of the pieces of the puzzle are all coming together, and I asked basically Brandon that as well earlier, and yeah, it's just like never before have all of the pieces come together like they are now to potentially fill the all the needs of Revelation chapter 13 and, yeah, and others.
Yeah, exactly. And again, the Bible is the only book on the planet that tells us in minute detail exactly how it's going to play out in the last days. And so at the same time that these things are all coming to pass, the sad thing is many Christians, many churches won't even touch biblical teachings that expose this so that we're not caught off guard, i.e. Bible prophecy. They won't even touch it. And so now the world is not only in the dark being duped, but many people who go to church services are in the dark and being duped. And then when you try to share it with them, they're actually fulfilling Bible prophecy in a negative way. The Bible says, here's another sign that you're living in the last days. Not all that we just talked about, a one world government, one world religion, cashless society. Scoffers would come and they would scoff about this coming. Oh, come on. You guys have been saying this, you know, and same thing. And what I've learned, Tony, is that the scoffers are not just in the world anymore. The scoffers are attending church services. And part of it is because the whole Bible, including Bible prophecy, which makes up nearly one third of the Bible, is not being preached. And they've turned many churchgoers, notice I didn't say Christians, churchgoers into scoffers themselves.
Well, we've got replacement theology and nah as the two big things in the church. So that's two deceptions for a start.
Yeah, exactly. And then you look with the NAR movement and all that stuff, and a lot of these people think that they're going to bring in peace to the planet. You know, they're going to Christianize the planet, and then Jesus can come. Well, excuse me, what Bible are you reading? Apparently you're not. No man's bringing peace to this planet except the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ himself. You're not going to usher that in. But again, a lot of that NAR movement, too, they're not really even teaching the Bible. It's all about experience. God told me to tell you, and that's why they're so far off base, because they're getting off the scripture.
Yeah, and dominion theology you alluded to, yeah, exactly. That which is rife.
Yeah, well, it's all over the place. And again, and why is that rife? Because people are not going to church services to study the Bible. The Bible says, Jesus said, Matthew 20, the Great Commission, don't just go out in all the world, but when people get saved, what do? Make disciples. What's that? That's mathetes in the Greek. It means disciplined learner. Of what? Of the Bible. So a true church, a biblical church, a godly church, a church that Jesus considers a success is what? The one that teaches the Bible to the point systematically where at the end of the day, these people are growing in their knowledge of the scripture, of Jesus Christ, and things of that nature. But that's not what a lot of these people are showing up for. It's to have a goosebump experience and to be wild or to experience, or I'm just going there because I got good potlucks and I enjoy hanging with my friends, or, you know, the motive's completely wrong. And churches cater to that. In fact, what's interesting, Paul told Timothy, he said that in the last days, the church is the context, would gather around themselves teachers who would tickle their ears. It's selfish desires, he says, and they'll turn away from the truth. And that's another thing that's happening today. People come not to, hey, God, I'm here to learn from you, and I want your word and only your word, only the Bible. I want to be a disciple for you, Jesus. No, it's about what self. Yeah, I want to hear what I want to hear. And if you don't, you're going to hear it from me, right? I want the music that I want. That's selfish desires, exactly what he warned about in the last days. And tickle your ears and turn aside to miss. Tickle your ears is kenetho in the Greek. It means to desire only that which is pleasant. Now stop right there. That's the mindset, the selfish mindset of most people that attend church services. I don't want to hear none of this stuff. I only want to hear, learn to be a better you, how to build up your self-esteem, how to be financially successful. I only want to desire that which is pleasant. That's a sign that you're a part of the apostasy that God warned about in the last days. And then it said they'll turn away. They don't want sound doctrine, which last time I checked, eschatology, study of end things, is a doctrine, but it says they turn away from sound doctrine. They don't even want doctrine. And it says, in fact, what they'll do is they'll turn aside from that, and they'll turn aside to myths or muthos, literally stories made up. So how do you know you're living the last days? Here's a big sign. Not just look at what Jesus said. You're going to see an increase of wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes. Of course. But he also said, the scripture says, look at the church. And when you see the church desiring kenetho and muthos, okay, then guess what? They would only desire that which is pleasant, and they will only want stories made up, and it's all about self, That's a sign you're in the last days. And what did I just describe to you, Tony? Most of the church today across the globe, which is a sign we're in the last days.
Yeah, exactly. So one final question then, Billy. Like, if you were, you know, talking to people now that are going, I can't find fellowship, I can't, you know, find like-minded believers, that's really hard. So what would you tell those people to do at this point?
Well, what we've been promoting is through technology, that people go to shoot us an email at homechurch@getalifemedia.net, homechurch@getalifemedia.net. We'll do the teaching for you through technology. We have the ability to do that. We got 12 years worth of material, study guides, whatever. And so basically we're going full circle, right? So if you can't find a church in your area, here's our challenge. Be the church in your area. Open up your home. And that's not a surprise, because if you look at the scripture, which I highly recommend, how did the church start? In homes. We're in the last days in the apostasy. Where are we going back to? Right where it started. Back in homes. Homechurch@getalifemedia.net. We'll show you how to do that.
Awesome. Well, I'll let you go. It's been a busy day for all of us, but I thank you so much for just sharing this little bit of info with me and taking your time out, Billy.
Yeah, you bet, Tony. Anytime, man.
Cheers.
Cheers. God bless.
Next up, I sat down with Monzo Gonzalez from prophecywatchers.com. And as with the other speakers, I thought Monzo gave some very interesting answers to the questions that I posed to him. I'm talking to Monzo Gonzalez at the conference. It's been a great day and we're right at the end. Monzo, is this your first time in New Zealand?
You know, I was actually here 5 years ago. My daughter was here for a Bible college and I came and dropped her off. And New Zealand is my favorite place in the whole world. ever since 5 years ago. It's great to come back.
Yeah, I mean, I love America, parts of America as well, you know, like... Some of the states are like more than others, but New Zealand's always home.
It really is, yeah. This is nice.
So it's been a great conference, great questions and answers at the end. I'd just like to ask you, I've sort of asked similar questions to the other guys. If there was one thing that you really want to get across to people that are watching this or listening to it online that are struggling, you know, by themselves and life's difficult as a Christian, you know, how would you want to encourage them?
Yeah, you know, my heart, I was a pastor for 16 years, so I really do love people. I love seeing them grow. And I think there's two things that come to mind. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, there's a passage there that I've shared thousands of times, and that is, it says, don't be lazy, but it says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so when you have that, when we come to here, we are living at the end of the age, strongly I believe that we're watching the world crash around us. And it requires that faith to know that Scripture's true and that God has all this worked out and that nothing is being done that he doesn't know. But it also requires a certain level of patience that I think that the church is going to be getting squeezed more and more. I don't think we're going to necessarily be out of here. I mean, as we looked around over the past few years, we've already been squeezed in the sense of here, certainly in Australia and other places, America too, that we were stretched not to get together to fellowship. And so that's going to happen. That's not going to go away. And so as we see those things, we see, again, faith and patience, but also, most importantly, that we stay together. What we know, it's no doubt, even if you look at the natural world, when a lion or is trying to attack some, they look for someone that's been isolated. And so I think the goal for us as Christians is Hebrews 10:25, that as we see the day approaching, that we don't forsake assembling together or that fellowship, whatever it is.
You know, we come from different theological perspectives, mm-hmm. a lot of this sort of remnant. You know, different beliefs on when the rapture's going to happen.
Yep, for sure.
I mean, even, you know, like everyone here, it's pretty much pre-trib. mm-hmm. Whereas me, I'm not totally sold on it. I haven't discounted it,
yep.
But I'm also, you know, pre-wrath quite possibly. And mm-hmm. But what I really don't want to do is see people divided on the issue of when the rapture is, yep. because the most important thing is we're saved or we're not.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more on that, because again, what we see is part of that isolation, and we know one of the second tactics that Satan uses is division. And so here we are, you know, just kind of like what we're describing, that you see this phrase being thrown around a little too casually, you know, you're a heretic, they're a heretic, and because we don't agree on eschatology. I mean, this isn't an essential issue of salvation. You know, if I die, the first question that God asks me is not going to be, what was your view on the tribulation or the rapture? It's definitely not. It's going to be, did you have faith in my son Jesus? And so as we know that, it doesn't mean that these aren't important issues and there's ramifications, but at the end of the day, we should always, one of the key things of spiritual maturity is whether we love another brother, Romans 14, in these indisputable matters. And Paul says, I don't want to destroy you by criticizing you harshly or whatever, but the goal is to love. And so we recognize, yeah, no, hey, let's talk about it. But it's not a determinant of our salvation.
Awesome. So just one last question. Where can the listeners find you online if they want to find you?
You know, prophecywatchers.com. If you go there, you can see where to watch and listen. And I mean, we're on television, we're on radio, we're on Roku, Rumble, you name it. We're on a variety of places. And digital magazine we have with all these guys write for our magazine. So there's probably a dozen different places you can find us, prophecywatchers.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Great to be here.
And so now we are at the last of the interviews for the day, which was with Tom Hughes from hopeforourtimes.com. And of course, I've had Tom on the A Minute to Midnight show on several occasions before. Hope you enjoy this short interview. So I'm with Tom Hughes, Pastor Tom Hughes, and it's really great. It's the end of the conference. Tom, how have you felt that it's gone?
It's been absolutely terrific. I'm so thankful that we've come down here, you know, just coming to Australia and now New Zealand. In fact, I think it went so well, Tony, that we're already planning to come back again. And I believe the Lord's doing a great work here. It was just such an exciting time. And these people are on fire. It may be a group of remnant believers, but there's a lot of them. And we're all finding out, look, we are not alone. We may feel alone, but it's just been such a joy to be here in New Zealand.
And we've enjoyed having you. So what would be the one thing that you would take out of this day the most?
I actually have about 10 different things, but I'll give you the short list. So number one is the great encouragement that we heard from all the different messages. And granted, there were all different things we were talking about, from the technology that's going on to some of the dark things regarding demonic activity in certain areas, how everything is all converging at the same time. We've seen that. We've seen the wokeism that has affected much of the world, the last days religion, the Pope. I mean, there's not much that wasn't covered. Of course, the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, the Jewish people being the center. But when you look at all of it, it's a great encouragement, because we are reminded Jesus himself said, when you see all these things begin to take place, look up and lift up your head, because your redemption draws near. So it's not a coincidence all these things are happening. And when we rightly understand these things and put them into the right perspective, the right package, so to speak, then what do we have? We go, oh, I get it. Jesus told us what to look for, so we would know, okay, let's be about our Father's business. Let's press forward. Let's tell other people about Jesus and look up and lift up our heads, because Jesus is going to call us home.
So for those that are watching the video or listening to this, I'll give you the final word as to what you'd like them to hear.
It's simply this. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus did not say, I am a way, a truth, a life. There's other ways to get to heaven. That's what the message is. That's the wrong message. That's the message of this world. But Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other name under heaven by which a person can be saved, the Bible tells us, than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I look at this, we have two messages to really get to people. And one of them is this, that it's not, again, it's not a coincidence that all of these things are happening in the world all at the same time, because the Bible told us this is what it was going to look like before Jesus comes the second time, before, quite frankly, judgment comes on the planet. However, the most important message is we've got to know Jesus came the first time to forgive us of our sins. And if you haven't trusted Christ to forgive you of your sins, ask him to forgive you. Trust him to forgive you of your sins. He came the first time for that, that with grace and mercy. He's coming the second time as a judge. And listen, if you don't know Christ, ask him to forgive you, and he will. And again, if you do know him, praise the Lord, because guess what? We're about ready to go home, but let's you and I be about our Father's business, telling others about the hope that we have in Jesus.
That's a great way to end. So thank you, Tom.
You bet. Thank you.
So that wraps up the interviews. I hope you enjoyed them. Please make sure you subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com, which is our website, and you'll find all our articles and shows there, as well as our videos are on YouTube, Rumble, BitChute, and we have audio on Apple Podcasts. Minute to Midnight's run 100% by donations. Big thank you to those that help us, and you can do that at our website if you want. And the music used, I've written, played, and recorded. So that's it, folks. God bless, stay safe, and God willing, we'll be back with another episode of the A Minute to Midnight show in a few days' time.